B-Pod Studios.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, December 3rd, here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester at the lovely Beasley Media Group. Broadcast on 98.5. That's the FM dial. We simulcast, as always, across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Fully loaded program here with Maz, Murray, Stu, alongside Billy Lanny and back. What's up there, Maz?
Delayed start to Big Boy Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. So, yes, usually, thank you. I buried the lead. Usually on Tuesdays here during the football season. We have Bedard in from 2 to 4, but he's traveling. I'm still traveling back from Houston.
Big Boy doesn't move well in the snow.
But he's coming back through Detroit or something. But anyway, he's traveling. So what Bedard's going to do is he's going to do 4 to 6 here as opposed to 2 to 4. So that's when we get Big Boy.
I think he was actually at the Kansas City game, wasn't
that's
he?
That's correct, yeah.
He was at the Oakland Kansas City game.
I didn't pay attention to where he was coming from.
Yeah, he's covering for the Vegas Tribune or whatever the hell it is.
The Vegas Daily paper. Bugle. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Bedard will be 4 to 6 today. Big Boy Tuesday is delayed by 2 hours due to the weather, like everything else. But I still think we start off with Patriots and Tom Brady, Maz. And let me ask you this. Am I wrong to look at Tom Brady and his whole visage, if you will, and tie it to his future? Am I wrong to think about that and how? I'm not sure exactly how it's related, and we'll speculate how it's related. But I can't help but think about the way he's carrying himself and his overall mood, which is poor, and his future. Am I wrong to tie the two together?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I think it'd be entirely human to link the two if you're Brady now, and that something off the field is affecting you. You know, I don't want to say affecting you on the field per se, but affecting your overall demeanor, and so you have less tolerance for other things. I think absolutely there can. I don't think there's a gray area there at all. Now, if you ask me to draw the direct line, like, I don't know that I can draw it directly, but I think they're related, yes. Absolutely. I told you, I think that the foundation of his frustration, the foundation, everything that everything is built on, is the fact that he did not get a commitment from the team. Why are you smiling?
What's more got going on over there?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Bunch.
Something else we can add to the repertoire of the Fuppets. I was a little bored, a little stoned, searching around on eBay, and I found a Brady puppet. So I figured we could add that to the show while you're going to disparage him. And
boy, they made him an ugly bastard, didn't they?
I think it's circa 2009. They gave it the long hair. It's not like they put a helmet on him. This is obviously only for the TV audience on NBC Sports Boston, but I couldn't resist. $60 well spent.
You got a mullet.
Yeah.
That's a good-looking puppet right there.
Seriously, right?
Why do you guys hate me?
He looks like Gresh.
So I've not come to disparage. And just wait till the big boy gets in. He's built a defense shield around Brady, as a lot of people have done.
It made Gasper blush.
Oh, my God. Bedard's post today on Boston Sports Journal and his film breakdown, nothing was Brady's fault. Nothing. Nothing. Everything was the fault of Jacoby Myers and Philip Dorsett. Just about everything in the world. Short of Trump's call to the Ukraine, although maybe Jacoby Myers was in the wrong spot on that one, too. Bedard blames the receivers for everything. So that's Bedard. His breakdown, he blames everything on the receiver. So we'll have plenty of Brady defense coming up. Over and over and over again. Every play, every missed throw, every open receiver that was missed in that ballgame, it's on the... Without question, it's on the receiver. Just about everyone. But I want to get to something that happened over the Thanksgiving, or something that was written over the Thanksgiving weekend that... it caught my attention. That's Gasper. That's another member of the Brady media cartel. Chris Gasper writing about the balance of power in Foxborough. And this is, you know, it's about a week old, so I'm a little dated, but again, we've been off since then. And Bedard wrote last Wednesday, basically, that the person in charge of Brady's return is no longer Robert Kraft. It's Bill Belichick. And that whole balance has changed, and it's Bill Belichick calling that shot now, not Robert Kraft. And I'll read you some of it, but it reads to the point where, did Gasper hear something? Because it almost has that feel, like out of nowhere, it's like all of a sudden Robert Kraft's not in charge of this, when Robert Kraft's been in charge of every quarterback decision. That's happened down there for quite a while. So what was your read on that before I get into it?
Well, so look, I didn't read it quite the same way you did, because I thought it was more Gasper's opinion than it was like fact, but I'm eager to hear how you interpret it.
I think it's informed opinion making, and I know again Gasper's close to that side of it. So this, I think, is their impression. It's Brady's impression of it. And I think that comes through in Gasper's writing. That's my read. He says, the power pendulum has swung back in Belichick's direction. He has the final say on how this team wins and how long Brady stays in a Patriots uniform. I mean, that's pretty declarative. He has final say on how this team wins, which he always has, and how long Brady, who isn't secured beyond this season, stays in a Patriots uniform, how long he stays in a Patriots uniform. Belichick is unchecked and unquestioned as the potentate of Patriot place on football matters. No one is above his reach, including Brady. If Brady wants to return next season, it will be on the terms the Patriots have played under this season. Belichick's terms. That's not how it's been. Was it that way 4 years ago? Sorry,
no.
Whenever they traded Garoppolo, was that what it was?
No, but this is his point, though, right? That the pendulum has swung. Brady had the power back then, and Bill has it now. So I understand what he's saying there. The one thing I still question is whether... See, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that this is what Brady thinks. Okay, like as you said, he's connected to that side of it. Brady feels like Bill has all the power and Bill is forcing him out. That's what Brady at least wants other people to believe. Now, I don't know if that's entirely true. I think some of that is in Tom's head. Because at the end of the day, if it comes to something that is quote-unquote reasonable and we can define that however we want, is Robert Kraft going to let Brady leave?
So this is now what the impression of the column is, and this is what I think that they've arrived at, and that's how Brady feels, and it might be right that no longer can Brady rely on Robert Kraft's coming in at the last moment and saving the day. That, yes, Kraft will let him go, Mass. Yes, that's what they're implying here in this column. When I say they, the Brady cartel.
Okay, then I don't think that has anything to do with Belichick. I think that has to do entirely with their unwillingness to give Brady multiple years. You follow me? In other words, if they're going to defer to Bill, it's because they look at Tom and say, Tom, we're not going to give you a multi-year contract. It's not going to happen.
The 42-year-old Brady, writes Gasper, is on a prove-it plan for the Patriots. The person he has to prove it to is Belichick. Brady's contract gives him the right to test the market, if he so chooses. But Belichick maintains the power to match whatever terms Brady brings back. Brady shouldn't be banking on Robert Kraft interceding and overruling Bill Belichick. So now he shouldn't. Kraft did it the last time. Kraft did it a couple years ago. We all agree, right? So what's changed?
I mean, Kraft did it a couple of years ago with Gronkowski, I feel like, as well.
Yeah. Kraft has done it on a couple of big ticket items over the years. Most recently, Murray, excellent. Most recently, Brady and Gronkowski. Now, Brady shouldn't be banking on Kraft interceding. So since when? And my guess, Maz, is it started in the offseason. It started in the offseason, and we're all just late to it. We're really late to it. Gasper, you know, late. We're even later than him. But this is – he's getting this now, but I think it existed over the offseason when Brady said, in so many words, well, you have to go ask Robert on that. And then he laughed it off. Ha-ha, just kidding. But someone once did say it is what it is, and those were pretty smart words. So my guess is that – the rubber met the road in the offseason. Brady didn't get the contract he wanted. That begins and ends with Robert, and it's now Belichick's call, and that has been a change in the dynamic.
Maybe. Could be that.
How about the appearance in the Netflix show? Do you think that helped matters?
So that's a good one. So there you go. Help me time that all out again. When did he film it, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, it was apparently filmed during the spring.
But it was the offseason.
Yeah, so it was during the offseason.
Contract time.
He still wants to spin that as, oh, you guys are reading it wrong, and the show is actually about doubling yourself, and it has nothing to do with a rub-and-tug spa. But, I mean, come on, just use common sense. And if you're Robert Kraft and you look at this, you'd be like, what are you doing? Like, I'm still in this court case, and I still got this hanging over my head, and you're going to do this?
This is how I read it, that I've always thought, I think Brady's always thought, because it's been the case, that at the end of the day, Robert Kraft is the one that decides on Brady's future. It's not a Bill call, just like it wasn't with Garoppolo. Hell, it wasn't with Drew Bledsoe. When Bill got here, Robert signed him to a $100 million contract. So this is Robert's call. And at some point in the last year, probably in the last offseason when they negotiated that last contract, Kraft pushed away from the table. And it's now up to Bill. And Robert's going to say, Bill, whatever you decide is fine with me because I know you don't want to pay him either. And There you go. And okay. now Brady's no longer relying on Kraft to save the day.
Well, then I would say on the part of the owner, what a cop-out. What a cop-out. So, like, the other element I'll throw into it, because this popped into my head as you were talking, I know I'm a little all over the map here. Tom didn't get a contract. Maybe Bill did. Maybe Bill got an extension. All of a sudden, he doesn't want to be – he's not going to be Marv Levy, right?
He's going to go
into his 70s. He wants to break Shula's record. And so maybe Bill got an extension, and Kraft looks at it and says, well, I got Bill for 5 more years. I got Tom for 1.
As Gasper writes – and I think the Patriots are right to do it this way, by the way. But as Gasper writes, he says suddenly Bill Belichick's walking around like he's got all the time in the world, and he's downplayed the Marv Levy comments, and – it feels younger than he would have felt at 67 when he thought about it 10 years ago. And Brady's on Bauer time, and he sold his hot, and like it's all. So that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, I wonder if that's an element in here too, because I'm trying to remember when it was that we had heard that Bill had a couple of years left or multiple years left. He had to have come up, and they probably redid it, right? So Bill probably got extended. Yep, I'm going to give you more time. I feel like I got plenty of energy. I want to do it. Shula's on his radar. Tom didn't get his deal, and now Tom says, well, they extend Bill, they didn't extend me. And that's the way. I think, though, this is all what Brady feels. I still wonder whether Robert really might intervene at the end and say, look, we're going to figure this out.
Yep.
I think in Brady's mind, Bill has the power now. Bill is building the team a certain way, and it's safeguarding it. And I'm telling you, again, I'm not telling you that Tom is seeing everything clearly. I think in Tom's head, Bill is building it a certain way, and Bill is angling him out the door.
Yep. And he believes Kraft is no longer there to save him.
Right.
I think because the way Gasper writes this, it is kind of sort of out of nowhere. I mean, all of a sudden, you get to Thanksgiving. The 42-year-old Brady's on a prove-it plan, and the person he has to prove it to is Belichick?
I feel like he's been talking and writing with informed opinion lately, too. Like how he's talked about N'Keal Harry and the practice habits and the same with Jacoby Myers.
Correct.
Like
correct, correct, correct. The power pendulum has swung back in Belichick's direction. The headline, I think, was Balance of Power Shifts Back to Belichick, Not Tom Brady. And he goes into, 3 years ago, it was in Brady's corner where Kraft interceded and got Garoppolo out of here and et cetera, et cetera. Now he says it's flipped. And is that contributing to the Brady's entire demeanor and how he's carrying himself and the whole thing? That's how I want to start today with your thoughts at 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Can you envision a scenario where you're the one that has to tell Tom Brady it's time to retire as a Patriot?
I think Tom Brady's earned the right to have that be a decision he makes when he wants to make it.
John Kraft with Andrea Kramer, Super Bowl a couple years ago. Gasper points this out as well. Says that was then, less than 2 years ago, that ownership pledged that Brady should make the call as to when his Patriots career ends. And then he quotes that Jonathan Kraft there again to Andrea Kramer before Super Bowl 52. At that time, it looked like Brady had control, writes Gasper. The team had traded away ostensible successor Jimmy Garoppolo earlier that season. Jimmy G was a player Belichick was invested in strategically and emotionally. Brady was named league MVP at age 40. The Patriots lost Super Bowl 52, but Brady threw for a Super Bowl record 505 yards and became the first quarterback in NFL history to lose a game in which he threw for 500 yards with 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. It was Belichick who was blamed for the loss based on his unexplained decision to mothball corner Malcolm Butler while his defense got fricasseed with assorted Johnson Batamoses and Jordan Richards running around. Gasper writes, time has tipped the scales back in the other direction, however, which is true, right? It is true. But it's beyond just the public perception of who do you blame for that loss and et cetera, et cetera. I think it's tipped because Kraft has said, we're not going to pay you, Tom.
Okay, so it was that line when I read, time has tipped it, which led me to believe that it's not as deliberate as Kraft saying, you know, and I'm giving you the dramatic effect here, of Kraft saying, Tom, I'm not coming in to save you anymore. Like, because I think at the end of the day, Robert doesn't want Tom to play anywhere else. And some of this, I do believe, is a little bit of a cop-out in that semantics, right? Tom, we still want you back. You're the one that asked for the out in the contract. You're the one that said you didn't want us to franchise you. We still want you back. So they want to be able to say that so that when Brady walks,
100%.
They say it was Tom's decision.
100%. I have no doubt Robert Kraft will make a personal appeal and then put on the table some crappy, insulting offer laden with incentives or nonsense. And it's going to be, you know, again, it's just going to be the window dressing, the
absolutely.
Patriots window dressing.
Brady feels like he's being leveraged. He feels like he's being leveraged. And again, I can't tell him he's wrong, but I think Brady feels like he's being leveraged and angled out the door.
Here's a good question by Will in Danvers, who leads us off today. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, love the show, guys. My question is, Brady is doing well this season. I'm not saying he's doing bad, but do you think his legacy would be better if he retired this year versus if he stayed? Thank you. I'm going to hang up.
Okay, your comment line said, should Brady be done this year? Should he retire?
Okay, my answer would be, if he's going to approach it this way, yes.
The legacy changes for you?
No. Should he be done? If the question is...
Okay, it was two different things. The first, let me ask you the first thing. If he goes out like this, okay, a low-rated quarterback who's sort of pouting, does his legacy change?
No.
Not one bit, doesn't it?
No.
This is par for the course for all the greats in the history of the league.
All it is a little sidebar, a little one line at some point.
At the end of the day, you were just like everybody else, from Favre to Marino, like in terms of how it ended.
Not just that. If he's got a 100-word, bio, you know, epitaph, line 90 says, in his final year, the numbers dipped and he didn't feel happy. But he retires. I mean, it's like a footnote.
Yeah. I'm not even sure it's line 90 for me.
You know what I mean?
It might be line 101 if it's 100.
May not even make the wiki. So I don't think how he goes out, whether he goes out as an MVP or a low-rated guy who hands off, I think the legacy is the legacy.
Oh, yeah. No, it's done. It's
over.
Cast in iron.
Okay. So, but should he retire?
So, again, I would tell you, if he's going to feel this way, get out now. Because it's not going to get any. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
If you're going to feel that way here, then
okay. So
leave here.
So that's fair. That's fair. If he wants to stay in New England and it's New England or no place else, but he's going to feel like I got no one to play with and I'm being leveraged out the door. Well, then get out now. Get out now because it's going to be the same crap all over again. Okay. Now, if you can reconcile it, and you know, I don't know, they give you some phony 2-year contract that appeases you on some level. And, you know, you feel like, okay, I'm not the same guy, or I'm not going to play at the same level because we're not the same team, but I can live with that because I still want to play and we're going to win. If he can reconcile that, then stay.
Yeah, so I would say if he carries on the way he's carrying on, retire.
Yeah, out.
I mean,
get out.
You're not going to put in the extra work. You're not, you know, energized to come in the offseason and work with the young guys. You don't want to work with young guys. It takes an act of Congress for you to get on the same page with your receivers and read zone and man on the same play. You can't get on the same page with your guys. You don't feel they respect you with the contract. So, I mean, so then what are you? Like he asked in his thing, what are you doing this for? I mean, really, what are you doing this for? You don't have to prove you're the greatest ever. You're the greatest ever. That's over. That story is over. So he says he loves the game. Does it look to you like he's loving the game this year?
No, not at all.
So unless that changed, unless he got rejuvenated, he liked working with young guys. He wanted to come in the offseason. He invested in young players who were struggling with the offense and, you know, became that guy that took him under his, you know, became a whole different guy, then fine. But the way this is going, I mean, I can't believe he enjoys it.
I mean, in all honesty, he's probably already made his decision and we just don't know what it is.
Dave in Plymouth. Hi, Dave.
Hey guys, here's a little bit of a twist on the take. What if last spring, Belichick went to Kraft, given everything Kraft was going through right in the spring, And basically, when they were talking about Tom's contract, said, look, it's either him or me. I can't do this again. You know, I can't keep giving away the future to keep this guy happy. And what if Belichick was the one who basically said, I've had enough of him running the franchise. It's either him or me. What do you think about that?
Entirely possible. Entirely possible. If Bill was up for another little extension, however they're doing it, he says, Robert, I'm not signing at this time unless you promise me I can make the call on the next quarterback. That's, you know, it's got to be worth it to me. And that is, so I'm going to stick around. I want to stick around, but give me your word that I have the choice, that I get to pick the next quarterback.
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out.
Not at all.
And I'm telling you, I also think on some level, the Crafts would be happy to do that because it lets them off the hook.
Exactly.
They get to make Bill the bad guy. You know, Bill's the one that pushes Brady out the door. And I'm telling you, I think they got Brady believing it.
I mean, this is where Bill and the Crafts are totally aligned. They don't want to. Bill don't want to overpay for players any more than the Crafts do, and vice versa. That they are
simpatico.
Simpatico on that one. Thank you. Simpatico on that one.
I don't know where you were going with that.
No, I thought that.
No,
that's
you
where
knew exactly
going.
Where I was going.
Yeah, I thought that that's where you're going, but I couldn't think of it.
I'm just, you know, you're dealing with someone with the, you know, who has problems. But anyway, like, so that's an easy one for Kraft and Belichick to get on the same page with. Kraft says, oh, you don't want to pay him? Great. Not a problem.
Well, especially if they're going to make it look like it was Tom's choice. Like, because that's what they want you to believe. And this, again, it gets gray. I'm not telling you that there's a clear answer here. But in Brady's mind, it's not his choice. They're forcing him out the door. Right, and it was probably going to happen this way because nobody wants the responsibility of Brady walking out the door. None of them do.
Bill can handle it.
Well, Bill can.
Bill can handle it.
Yeah, Bill's about the only one.
Paul in New Hampshire, you're up. What do you got?
Hey, guys, the only choice they have is Brady. They got him at a low buck right now. Who's a better quarterback out there that they're going to get for the next guy? And not only that, he's a baby. He doesn't want to play with these young guys. But I do think he is still capable of making this team win. We haven't had a kicker. We have nobody that can catch the ball. We have nobody that can run the ball.
You don't think Paul, you don't think there's anyone else who can quarterback this team?
What is he making? Who are they going to get any cheaper than him that's going to be any better?
Oh, plenty of guys. Young guy, marginal guy, a player that's coming off that needs to, I don't know, rehabilitate himself. We're going to ask this in 10 questions with Bedard. Bedard's 4-6 today. And we'll do 10 questions late in the program with him. And this is one of my questions. But there's actually a handful of quarterbacks who are going to be available either in free agency or trade in the offseason that you're not going to have to pay $30 million a year to. And I'm not telling you that you want Marcus Mariota necessarily. I'm just telling you there's a group of guys that you can get for less than Brady. Never mind Jared Stidham, who you get for nothing.
See, I think the callers are missing the point, too.
And it wouldn't surprise me one bit. And I don't know. I'm not inside Bill's head. But it wouldn't surprise me if he thought, I can go 12-4 with this kid and pay him $600,000.
Right, and run a different offense.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me one bit if he felt that way.
See, I think everybody just says, well, you know, who's going to run it if Brady's not? They won't run the same offense. They'll change it. And when I say change it, to accommodate the skills of the next guy. And so Stidham's going to be more mobile. I'm just using Stidham as an example. But he's going to be more mobile. So maybe he's better throwing on the run. Maybe those stupid-ass rollouts that they're doing with Brady down by the goal line, maybe Stidham will execute them because he's a more athletic kid and he's younger. I don't know. I'm not telling you to win Super Bowls with him. I'm just telling you they will tailor the offense to the guy who's behind center.
Okay, update on the Patriots' kicking situation coming your way. Murray's update is right here, and then we're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now this is going to create a 38-yard extra point attempt. Now between the hash marks, Bailey sets up on the snap from Cardona in play. Swing of the right leg, kick airborne to the uprights. And the kick is no good. Hooked it left.
Want to make it hard, huh?
Morning, Milt.
Hey, Nick.
I wanted to ask about the team's current situation at kicker. Following yesterday's transaction, you guys currently don't have a place kicker on the roster. What is the plan with the place kicker between now and Sunday? Do you plan on bringing back Nick Volk?
Yeah, we have a few days to work that out. So we'll look at our options and try to do what we feel like best for the team based on what our options are. So I don't know exactly how that's going to go, but we'll see.
So it's become a fascinating story to me how Bill approaches this one. So many other positions he's willing to go for. No-name guys, undrafted guys, unheralded guys, guys that he just likes, that he likes for his reasons. And you could care less what they've done or haven't done in the league. When it comes to kicker, it is one veteran failed suck bag after the next. It's remarkable. And outside of, obviously, Vinatieri to Gostkowski, whenever he's needed to fill in, Shane Graham, Mike Nugent, Nick Folk, Kai Forbath. Like, seriously, what bag of crap is coming next?
Good question.
Which, you know,
I think it's going back to Folk.
Half of me wonders if it's the Blair Walsh guy.
Oh, God, please no.
Oh, boy.
Blair Walsh.
No, please no.
This is Bill's history. Yeah. He's kicked outside. I mean, he's missed him. But
I've kicked outside.
Well, yeah, right. See, I guess Bill doesn't care whether you've made him or not, just so you've kicked outside. Blair Walsh kicked outside in Minneapolis. I mean, he missed a 17-yard field goal in freezing weather to lose a playoff game.
Correct.
But he kicked in 17-degree weather.
Oh, great.
So I'm telling you, this is Bill's history.
Yeah, so look, I I'm just telling you, I don't want Blair Walsh. No thanks. So I thought Folk was doing a perfectly fine job. Now, and I still think he's coming back.
Yeah, I think you're going to be right about that. From everything that I've read just today from the beat reporters, it sounds like he still has his nameplate on his locker, so they expect him to probably be back.
I mean, I was okay. Now, I don't know which side he had the...
So 10 days
what for... What an idiot I am. God, he had the appendectomy on the right side. So I was going to say that's his kicking leg. I don't know how much that'll affect him or not.
Well, you have an appendectomy on your... Is there one or two of them?
There's one. Right side. Your appendix is on your right side.
Well, why are you dumb for you were supposed to know that?
Because I was going to say, I don't know which side he had the appendix removed from. He had it removed from the right. That's where the appendix is. It's on the right side. Because I'm a jackass. Off the top of my head, I should know that. Which I do. But anyway, that aside, like, I don't know. The guy's going to have an incision in his leg. Like, does that affect his range of movement? I have no idea. But I still, all the guys they brought in, Folk was by far the best. Not even close.
Yeah.
This jackass Sunday was, I still put Nugent third, but this guy's no better. Barely.
Get ready for something like Blair Walsh, though. I'm telling you.
Great. The Blair Walsh Project. Like.
Walsh from 27 yards left hash. Snap good. Spot down. Walsh's kick is up. And it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that. He missed it left. And the Seattle Seahawks are off to Charlotte. Blair Walsh missed a 27-yard field goal, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to lose 10-9.
Well, sometimes you just rather be lucky than good.
Listen to that misery porn. Oh, that's great. That crowd is just
that. How long was that? It was literally like a 21-yard.
27.
Yeah, yeah. 27.
27. I'm telling you, of all the bad kicks in NFL history, that's up there. 27 freaking yards. 27 yards.
I'm telling you, this is Bill's history, though.
Yeah, if he goes Blair Walsh, I quit. Yeah, I quit. I'm out.
When's the last time he's actually kicked?
I'll tell you, though.
When's the last time the last guy kicked?
Yeah, that's true.
Was you 2 years ago, for crying out loud. Bill didn't care.
I'll take Folk over the other two. At least with Folk, I have a reasonable, based on what we saw, I was reasonably confident that he was going to kick the ball straight. The rest of them, I don't know. No idea.
Blair Walsh with the Seahawks in 2017, apparently.
So, like, I just, you know, and I think with this team this year, they got to have somebody who's reasonably reliable.
Like, has it really cost them yet?
Not yet, because the two games they lost, they got spanked. Okay? They got spanked, and they played garbage at the beginning of the year. But if they can't punch it in the red zone, and their defense is at all suspect against good competition, they're going to need to get field goals, Mike.
How does it not become a factor at some point?
Well, it feels like it's going to.
I mean, seriously, how does
which
not?
Is why I want Folk back. I thought Folk was okay. The other two guys, train wrecks. Complete freaking mental case train wrecks. Like shanking it off the tee at the driving range. Like I'm watching those two guys and saying, this is a disaster. With these two knuckleheads, like those guys couldn't kick the ball straight. It was a joke. Nugent couldn't get it off the ground. At least, you know, this guy wasn't much better.
Okay, so there's your kicking update.
That freaking duck hook extra point he hit on Sunday.
Coming up next, we get back to the Brady future topic based off that Gasper column from last week. What does he know? What does he know? Is Kraft no longer in Brady's corner when it comes to his future? Is that part of why we're seeing Tom Brady act the way he's acted this year, which is less than happy? Less than happy. And a caller raised a good question. Should he retire? If this is how it's going to be, should he come back and keep playing NFL football here, especially? So that's on the table with your giveaway. Long commercial-free segment is next.
The team tried out kickers Kai Forbath, Elliot Fry, Mike Nugent, Blair Walsh, and Matthew Wright today. Also, the first injury report of the week.
Blair Walsh?
Duggar has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
You're in the final year of your contract. Is it going year to year a possibility, and are you comfortable with that?
I mean, we're all day to day, if you think about it. I mean, none of us are really promised anything, so... I mean, I'm trying to do the best I can do today and, you know, just let those things sort themselves out.
Do you feel like you earned an extension, Tom?
Have I earned it? I don't know. You guys, that's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think? Should we take a poll?
Sure.
All right. Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on. Mm-hmm. No, we, like I said, we got a great relationship, so we'll see how it goes.
So what changed with Brady? Something did at some point. Maybe it was in the contract talks in the offseason. That was Brady at training camp. Go ask Mr. Kraft. And the whole jumping off point is Gasper's column from last week. We were off last week, so we didn't get to it then. But we're getting to it now because I think it all ties in. And that is the balance of power shifting there in New England. And it's now Bill Belichick determining Brady's fate and not Robert Kraft, which you would normally say, well, that's the way it's going to be anyway, right? But, nah, not quite. It's not the way it was with Garoppolo. That was Robert Kraft stepping in. Now, though, Chris Gasper writes, if Brady wants to return next season, it will be on the terms the Patriots have played under this season. Bill Belichick's terms. He says the 42-year-old Brady is on a prove-it plan for the Patriots. And the person he has to prove it to is Belichick. Brady's contract gives him the right to test the market if he so chooses, but Belichick maintains the power to match whatever terms Brady brings back. Brady shouldn't be banking on Robert Kraft interceding and overruling Bill Belichick. This time. I added this time. Gasper did not write that. But Gasper wrote, Brady shouldn't be banking on Kraft interceding and overruling Bill Belichick. And I will add this time, like he did last time. So what's changed? And I think it's the contract. I think the Krafts aren't any more interested in paying Tom Brady than Bill Belichick is. And maybe it has something to do with what a previous caller said, and that is Bill is here for the long haul. He is going to catch Shula. He isn't going anywhere. Bill's still closer to his prime than Brady is, of course, because he's a coach, not a player. And at some point, maybe Belichick says, well, they all come to an understanding that if we're going to stick with this guy, we got to let him make that call. And maybe that's where they're at, and Brady sees the writing on the wall, and that's what has contributed to his whole pissy mood the entire year.
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. Look, again, the last time Brady needed the owner to jump in, and I say last time for his own benefit, I'll leave Gronk out of it at the moment. Kraft jumped in, they got rid of Garoppolo. Now Brady was going into the final year of his contract, and maybe Brady expected him to jump in again and give him his deal, and he didn't get it. And then he said, well, he's not backing now. He backed me then. He didn't back me now. So now what? I'm convinced that at the core of it is Brady feels like he's being angled out the door. That's what he feels. It doesn't mean it's true. It just means that's what he feels like. He's being angled out.
Okay, giveaway coming up later on this segment, so don't leave radio. If you want something for free, back to you, though. Colin and Drake it. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think Robert Kraft is realizing he doesn't want to turn into Jerry Jones and that he should let the football people make football decisions. If it's true that he interfered with Belichick moving on from Gronk and Brady, then think about that. Think about what we could have gotten for Gronk, but instead we had to keep him. He left and we got nothing. If Brady got traded and we kept Garoppolo, think of what we could have gotten for him 2 years ago, and we would have kept our new franchise quarterback and had a relevant and fun team for the next 15 years. Now we have a declining quarterback pouting his way out of town, and we're going to be left with nothing. It's like the 90s post-Bird McHale Celtics all over again.
All right, I like most of your takes there, except for that you got nothing out of it.
You got another Super Bowl, didn't you?
You went to 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them. So there was a tremendous payoff in the short term. Did it put your long-term future at a little bit of a disadvantage? Yes. Yep. But don't tell me you didn't get anything out of it.
No. They were right.
I mean, look back and say that Kraft was right to intercede. And he was even right to intercede in Gronkowski. Got you another Super Bowl last year.
So I just want to get the timeline right, though. It's 2 Super Bowls and they won 1, not 3-2.
Okay.
Right? Because they traded him the year they lost.
I'm just not prepared to do the math in my head right now.
Okay. But they traded Garoppolo the year they lost to Philly, and then they won last year. But even then, it's still worth it. Still worth it. They absolutely got another Super Bowl by keeping Gronk. He was a part of that run game.
No, this is Garoppolo's 3rd year in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Now you are making me do this on the air. This is his 3rd year in San Francisco.
One was a partial.
Okay,
last year.
Okay, but the partial one, they won the Super Bowl.
No, they didn't. They lost.
16, Mez. 2016, they
17,
won.
18, 19.
It's 2 out of 3.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, see, I was begging you not to do this on the air. But either way, in the interim, you had a tremendous level of success, whether it was 2 or 3 or what. You've been at the top of the league since you made that trade, so that's the trade-off. Cam and Taunton, your thoughts.
They traded Garoppolo the year they lost to the Eagles, guys. And also, you guys do correct me up. Mike, what does Brady have to be happy about? Don't tell me that he's on the best team in the league. He might not be on the best team in the division.
Oh, stop it. He's not on the best team in the division.
No, the Bills are a better team than them, Mike, and you know they are.
Oh, please. Not even close. Coaching counts, Cam.
I'm not telling McDermott's Belichick, but McDermott's not Freddie Kitchens. McDermott's a pretty good coach.
Okay.
The defense is great, but he's 42. This is an all-in year, and they took the 3 Pro Bowl receivers he had, and they shipped them all out of town and gave him 2 rookies. Any quarterback would be pissed there. I don't blame him at all.
Any quarterback would be pissed to be 10-2 with the best coach in the history of the league and the number 2 seed in the AFC. Every quarterback would be pissed in that situation. What are you, stupid?
No, listen, let's not get ridiculous about it. The Bills, to win the division, the Bills are going to have to win in Foxborough.
Never mind the rest of their games.
Okay, and the Patriots, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The Patriots are still the best team in the division. Let's not get stupid about it. They are the best team in the division.
They're 10-2 on their way to 13-3 at the worst. Be a number 1 or 2 seed in the conference with the best defense or one of the best defenses in the league with the best coach in the league. Wow, what a horrible spot for Tommy. I can't believe. Thoughts and prayers. Seriously, what a tough position they put him in.
I can understand his frustration, but saying they're better, the Bills are better, that's a bit much.
Let's not get silly, Cam. Brandon in Boston. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my take. If I can be really quick, though. So it has to do with mobile quarterbacks. So check this out. So quarterbacks who can take off have been a curious weak spot for the Patriots. The Patriots allowed 6.89 yards per rush to quarterbacks last season, the highest mark in NFL. So check that out. That's that, right? Then when it comes to Cam Newton, that time when the Panthers came.
Brandon, I need your point. I need your point, dude. Your phone's not good enough.
Right. So check this out. So when it comes to mobile quarterbacks, that's their weakness. So check this out. Brady's on his way out the door. So you have Colin Kaepernick out there, and then you have Cam Newton. So if you critique their skill.
Let me just, please. Do you think Bill Belichick is any interested in Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton?
No.
No.
Okay, why?
Because I don't think either one. Well, Kaepernick's a whole host of issues, but I don't think either one of them is an accurate enough passer.
Cam Newton, I think, is just too beat up.
Do you think Bill's interested in mobile quarterbacks?
Not necessarily. Not a run-first quarterback, no. No.
Agreed.
He wants a pocket guy. Does he, hate mobility? No, I don't think he hates it. But ideally, he wants a quarterback to run the game from the pocket. That's what he wants.
I think Garoppolo is probably about as mobile as he's looking for.
Yeah, I mean,
too mobile. If Garoppolo was here, he wouldn't move like he moves.
I mean, it never hurts to have a quarterback that can extend a play as long as he doesn't put himself in the way of harm. So, you know, I don't want to say Bill's against a mobile quarterback, but he doesn't want a guy running around and breaking down the structure. He doesn't want that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.